Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to open up the pages of God's Word. We'd also invite you to view our TV program that airs following this broadcast on channel number 6 of your public access television station entitled Searching the Scriptures. It airs from 8 to 8:30 every Sunday morning. Please give it a look. We would also invite you to our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will be helpful in your study of the Bible. You'll find all these radio broadcasts, also our TV programs are out there, and also we have other Bible information that can be helpful to you in helping you better understand God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our meetings and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We encourage you to come and worship and study God's Word with us at any time that you have opportunity. We want you to know that you will always be warmly received. We are looking at an overview of the Bible, and we are in the New Testament, and we began a study of the book of 1 Timothy last Lord's Day. Today we're going to continue in 1 Timothy, and we're probably going to try to cover chapter 3 and 4. We'll see how our time goes. In chapter number 3, this is an important chapter because it gives a qualification for those who desire to be elders in the Lord's church. And I want to read these qualifications and then make some comment about them. They are given in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It says, "This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? He can't be a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he falls into some condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." Now in these passages, you have the qualifications of those who would seek the office of a bishop. Now the first thing we want to point out is that a bishop is different than a pastor and an evangelist. Too many times in the religious world, we have the concept that the pastor is the leader of the church. That is incorrect. A pastor is another word for bishop. There's also the word elder, overseer, shepherd, presbyter. All those words are synonymous with the word bishop. They mean an overseer. They mean one who takes care of the Lord's church. Man has made the office of a bishop and pastor two different offices. Preachers are called pastors. They are not pastors. They are evangelists. Now, an evangelist can be a pastor if he meets these qualifications and he determines to lead a certain local congregation. But unless that's true, it is incorrect to call the preacher a pastor. He is an evangelist. He's a minister. He's a preacher. And he is not the spiritual leader of the church. Unfortunately, many religions have made that way, but you will not find that teaching in the Word of God, especially in this chapter. Another thing that we need to remember is that he must desire the work. Can't be drafted into it. He can't be offered money to do it. And it can't be a bargaining chip. He's got to desire it. He's got to want to do it. We also understand that he it's a good work. And he must be blameless. Now that doesn't mean perfect. That means that there can be no fault found in him. That he doesn't have any mar on his character. And we'll see that a little further in the qualifications. It also says that he must be the husband of one wife. Now, indeed, this is an important qualification because it rules out women elders. Listen very carefully. How does a woman take the position of an elder when she is a woman and not a man? A woman cannot be the husband of one wife. She is a wife of a husband. And so this passage would preclude that a bishop, an elder, an overseer, a presbyter could be a woman. She must be a man. He must be a man because that's the qualification. We also read in Titus, in the parallel account of this that we will see later in Titus chapter 1, that they must desire, and it says, to be the husband of one wife, he must be temperate. That means that his behavior, he must have his emotions under control. He must be sober-minded. That means he must be serious-minded. He's got to be of good behavior. He's got to have good character. He's got to be hospitable. That's the word hospitable means to love to entertain strangers. And he's got to be able to teach. He's got to be able to instruct publicly and privately. He needs to be able to do both. He's not given to wine. He's not a drinker. He's not violent. That means that he's not, again, that has a reference not only to his character, but to his emotions. Not greedy for money. He can't be a covetous person. Can't be one who's selfish with his money. He's got to be gentle. And other translations put the word kind. He's not to be argumentative or quarrelsome. And he's not to be covetousness. Again, that's not just coveting money. That's coveting other things. He must rule his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. And again, he must be one that rules his house well. If he can't rule his own home with his children, then how is he going to rule the house of God? And when we read the account, parallel account in Titus, it would add that they must be Christians. They must be members of the Lord's church. And verse 6 says that he can't be a novice. That just simply means that he can't be a new convert. He can't be somebody that just understood the truth and accepted the truth, and then the next week we make him an elder. No, if we do that, then he might fall into pride and condemnation of the devil. And then lastly, it says he must have a good reputation of those that are without. That means those outside the church. Does he have integrity? Does he have a good character? Does he have a good reputation with those who are outside the Lord's church? Now, I want you to notice that in these qualifications, it's not saying that he must attain the majority of them or he has to retain a good number of them. He must retain all of them. He must be qualified in every one of these points. And as long as he holds this office, he must be qualified on these points. Let me give you an example. What if he has a stroke and he's no longer able to teach, or he's no longer in the ability to control his mind? Then he is no longer qualified and he would have to step down from that position. Now, unfortunately, in our day and time, men have altered and amended these things. And if we read other passages, like 1 Peter 5 and verse 2, it tells us that the elders of a oversight have oversight over one church, over the church that is among them. It was interesting to me a few weeks ago, or now maybe a few months ago, that there was a church here in town that was advertising for resumes for elders and deacons. Now, how in the world do you do that? An elder and a deacon must be over and must be part of the work that is going on in a local place. Could you have an elder that worshiped and resided in another congregation in another city? No, that would be unscriptural. And the oversight of elders begins and ends at the local congregation. There may be other churches in town, but their oversight begins and ends with that local church. It's a local oversight. That's how Roman Catholicism went astray, is it began to expand the role of bishop until it went all the way to making one universal bishop, which we know as a pope. That is unbiblical. That's unscriptural. There is no authority for that in the scripture. That is an organization that was completely devised and determined by men and not by God. Therefore, that we must reject it as being something that came from men and not from God. Elders are men who meet these qualifications, and they must meet them in order to obtain the office. Beginning in verse 7 through 13, it gives a qualification for deacons. It says in verse 8, likewise, Deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. But let those first be tested. Let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing with great boldness in the faith which was in Christ Jesus. Now notice, in these are deacons. Now these are servants of the church, and that's what the word deacon means. It means servant. He must be reverent. That has to do with his character. He must be respectful. He must be not be double-tongued. He must be honest in his speech. He must not tell lies. He must not be given to wine. He must not be greedy for money. These qualifications are also true for elders. He must hold the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. That means that he must have a good understanding of Scripture, and he abides by it. He must be proven. He must be blameless. Again, that means without fault. That doesn't mean that he's never committed a sin or he will never sin again. It means that there's nothing that is against him. His wife, even the wives of deacons have qualifications. They must be reverent. They must be respectful. They can't be slanderous or gossipers or libelous. They have to be temperate. They have to be in control of their emotions. They must be faithful in all things. They must demonstrate faithfulness in their lives. They also must be the husband of one wife, and they have to rule their children and house as well. If you read their qualifications, it's not apparent in these qualifications and the ones in Titus that you'd have to go to get the full entitlement of what deacons must be, but their children do not have to be Christians. And because it's a different role, it's more of a role of service than of leadership. But they have to rule their house as well. They have to have them in control and under subjection. And if they do that, then they obtain a good standing with great boldness of faith. Now again, deacons are not elders. They are servants to rule under the oversight of the elders. And so these men, elders and deacons, have responsibilities and duties to God, and they must meet these qualifications in order to be considered to do that work. If they don't meet the qualifications, then they can't do that work. One other passage that we want to look at in 1 Timothy 3 before we close today is verse 15. It says, "But if I am delayed to you, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the pillar and church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." In this verse, we see that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The truth is what supports the church and is to be an example of that in everything it teaches and in everything it does in order that men might see God. And there is a conduct. There is a way that we should act and responsibilities that we have in that church in order to set the right example to others and to be considered faithful among God. Now we will stop here for today, and next time we come together, we will look at verse 16, which is a little bit of a lesson in and of itself, and then we will get into chapter number 4 and following. We want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope that this helps you in getting a better understanding of the things contained in the New Testament, that we might not just believe them, but that we might obey them. Thank you.